All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Jets week just about over because we got football tonight. Andy Hart, wherever you go. What the hell? Andy Hart just took off. Just got up and left. Show starts. I'm excited. Everyone's pumped up. Andy Hart's so pumped up, he just walked right out of his seat. What are you doing?
I had to move the chair. I like to be able to see my peeps in the Twitch chat, and it was a chair in the way.
That was way too much effort to see the nonsense that gets posted in this Twitch chat.
These are our people.
I probably shouldn't do that neck movement either.
Probably not. Jesus. Anyways, we got a big show for you today here. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, the ever-elusive Andy Hart here with you until just before 6 o'clock when we hand things over to the MassMutual pregame show with Boston and Red Sox, but today is all about the Patriots, all about the Jets. That's Gerard Mayo on his one-on-one that he does with Zolak, I believe, every week, and talking about facing Aaron Rodgers, which brings us to our big question of the day, a question that you posed in the email chain. I think it's a good one, and that is, and this is not just for betting purposes, people, all right? We'll get to our betting segment. This isn't about betting right now. This is a question about what this team is, what their opponents are, and the question is, are the Patriots more likely tonight to win the game and beat the Jets or get blown out by the Jets? We're not talking about a close loss. We're not talking about a moral victory here. We're talking about one end of the spectrum and the other end of the spectrum. Which one are they closer to? Are they closer to winning this game or are they closer to getting the crap kicked out of them? Andy Hart, you posed the question. Why don't you go ahead and answer it?
So as listeners to the Six Rings podcast may know already, I previewed it yesterday. I think there's a chance they get their butts whooped. I think there's a chance that it's a little competitive early because of the way they want to play and all that. Maybe they can put a little 40-yard drive together with six runs and hold on to the clock a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a tough week, tough spot, short week. Receivers are bitching. Well, you can't really change the passing game this week. Offensive line is in shambles. We know you're without two starters on the left side of the line.
Right.
We don't know if David Andrews and Mike Onwenu are going to play, and if they play, at what level. Although Andrews, if you read anything into media availability, Andrews was very sort of upbeat. So he feels like a likely to be in there kind of guy.
So he wasn't on the Monday imaginary one. That's the one that he was the DMP for.
Right.
And then the next two, right? Or was there only one other report? I think there was two more and he was on them, but he was limited.
So, yes. Yeah. But talking to the media, he was like, I feel good and I look good. Like, he's kind of upbeat and cheery and fun. So, but overall, you're facing Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. You're facing a team, let's not forget, Bill Belichick was gushing over
right
3 weeks ago about Breece Hall and what he can do and Garrett Wilson. And I do think they have looked incrementally better when they've taken the field. San Francisco, not great. A little better in Tennessee. So they're kind of trending in the right direction. They're more talented. They're at home. There might not be healthier. I'm not sure who's healthier. Both teams are a little banged up. Jermaine Johnson for them. CJ Mosley might miss the game. Mm-hmm. We'll see. He's questionable. But I just feel like this could snowball in terms of energy. If you turn the ball over, and the Patriots might be due. I know they were debating that on the Jones and Keefe show. I don't think Jacoby Brissett is actually due because, in my mind, he threw a pick in Cincinnati. So he got one out of the way.
Fair enough. Okay.
He already made the bad throw.
You know who's due is Sauce Gardner. He has this long interception drought going on right now. It's been like 15, 16 games or something. It's like Aaron Judge, you know, not hitting a home run for 20 games. That's basically what's going on with Sauce Gardner here. But also, people aren't throwing towards him. We'll see if that changes. I kind of wonder, like, you know, for a team that doesn't really pass that much, a guy like Sauce Gardner probably gets pretty bored back there.
Yes.
You know, it's just sort of like, all right, well,
I wouldn't throw to him tonight.
I'm blanketing Tyquan Thornton, and this isn't really all that fulfilling.
Right. And if Jacoby Brissett is not necessarily looking to throw the ball down the field, not necessarily looking to make big plays. So remember the old Tom Brady find Ed Reed on every play that he wrote on his armband? If I were Brissett, I'm like, just avoid Sauce. Stay away from Sauce tonight. What good can come? Only bad can come from me trying to challenge Sauce Gardner. But no, I said it yesterday, just the energy or the culture or whatever you want to say, I feel like is being challenged a little bit.
Yeah.
And we'll see. I feel like on the road, I know early on in Thursday games, the road team was the, you know, take the home team. It was heavily swayed. I think it's balanced itself out over time as teams have learned how to prepare and kind of deal with the challenge of the week. But I don't know. I feel like the road team, Aaron Rodgers' first home game since getting hurt.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of factors that could sway this into a Jets night, a gangrene night, a
it's
jet
also
life.
Also a short week for an old guy. Short week for an old guy. That you have to take that into account.
Is your quarterback young?
He's younger than Aaron Rodgers.
I know his birth certificate says he is, but he feels older sometimes.
Sometimes he does.
And he's gotten the snot kicked out of him for two games. Yeah. So I bet you if you cut him open, the rings, he's similar right now, Aaron Rodgers and Jacoby Brissett.
Like you would with a tree, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. I thought that was obvious. I didn't need to explain it.
I didn't know if it was maybe like a Sonic the Hedgehog thing, you know, with the rings.
It was not, because I don't get that.
Okay, well, never mind. When Sonic the Hedgehog gets hit, the rings pop out of him. You got to collect the rings.
Okay, you take it the way you want it.
And then you go into, oh, I just wasn't sure what you meant. Anyway, doesn't really matter at all. So you think it's more likely the Patriots get blown out tonight?
Yeah. I don't really see them winning this game. I mean, I think it'll be... is this a moral victory opportunity?
Against the Jets? No. I would say no.
So it's either win or lose. There is no moral victory.
Not in this case, no. Even if it's a really close game, I don't know. I'm sorry. It's the Jets. This is a team that you lost to them in that game last year. Belichick's last game was the first time you lost to the Jets in the last 15 tries, I think, dating back to like 2015. They had a ridiculous streak going against them. I remember them talking about it during the game. And then Belichick ends up beating them or losing to them and screwing up their draft pick. End up getting bounced to like 11. And that was the whole thing there. The one time he finally loses to the Jets and it actually screws them over. But it's not one of those, you know, you gave it a good try. Now, these are the Jets. It's an important game to sort of, right now, I think this team's really at a crossroads in the season anyway. Like, a win tonight, I think, could definitely turn a lot of things around from last week that you saw and didn't like. And it could also feed into the whole Gerard Mayo thing, which is, all right, he's got his guys motivated. There may be some people who are disgruntled in the locker room, but if you win, that doesn't matter. If you win, then those guys will get in line and they'll be fine, and eventually they'll get the ball and whatever, but you got to win. If you don't do that, it's going to exacerbate all those problems.
I also wonder, is there going to be any reaction to the passing game talk, the Pop Douglas?
I wonder that too, yeah.
And is that good? Like, who are you?
I don't think it's good at all.
I don't really think it's good either. I think your best opportunity... The Jets give up 4.7 yards per carry on the ground. Their front is not what it's supposed to be. Jermaine Johnson's out. If C.J. Mosley is out, I absolutely think you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You try to get Ramondre Stevenson going. You mix it up with Gibson. You're trying to hold on to the ball. You're trying to keep Rodgers off the field. All of those things. I think the overthink reaction... Oh, we got to get Pop Douglas involved. We got to get the passing game involved, these receivers. I think that plays into the Jets' hands, quite honestly. I just don't think that makes any sense. And Mayo will be tested there too, right? Because 2 weeks ago, we're going to run the ball. You got to stop us. We're doing it. Like, every week, we're doing it. If the first play of this game is a wide receiver screen to Demario Douglas or like some little quick throw to Demario Douglas, I think that's a bad sign.
I think so too. Not just for the game plan of that particular game, but what, every single time someone bitches and complains, all of a sudden you're going to switch up the game plan and make them happy? Like, that's not, first of all, you don't have the offense for that. You don't have the talent, I think, to just jump around from guy to guy like that. And Pop Douglas might be your best wide receiver, but come on. You're going to completely redo the entire philosophy of the team to make Pop Douglas happy? Like, who the hell is Pop Douglas? That's sort of the point. Like, they don't have any receiver with that kind of standing. If it was Brandon Ayuk or even T. Higgins, then yeah, maybe you'd listen to that. But you're not going to listen to it for any of these guys. Except that Gerard Mayo is presenting himself as someone who does want to develop, you know, players and personalities and get it, make everyone happy and make sure everyone's all content all the time. And what are we, 2 weeks in, all of a sudden there's a problem in the locker room? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure if that way is as rewarding and easy to execute as Mayo thinks it is.
I also think there's not a lot of payoff for it because you're literally feeding the whiny receiver.
Right.
And what's he going to get, 6 yards? If I'm going to go away from my trend and say I'm a running team, but we want to mix it up, I'm going deep to Tyquan Thornton or Javon Baker or somebody. Something where if I hit it.
Or anyone ever.
Right. It's like Farrell Brown. I'm going to hit
pass,
a big play.
Like, come on.
Yeah. I want some payoff. I don't want, well, it's 2nd and 4. I could have gotten to 2nd and 4 with Ramondre. I don't need it to throw it to Demario Douglas. So if I'm going to mix up and go counter to my trends, it will be a shot play. It will be a play action or a boot. with like a deep over or something. Something where I can get some actual buzz out of it. Maybe make their safeties stay, but like make the safeties think differently about. Yeah. So, oh yeah, great. Let's throw it to Pop Douglas so he's happy. I don't really care if he's happy.
Yeah, and they shouldn't be super focused on making sure all of their wide receivers are happy. I mean, it's just they're not going to be happy this year.
It's a
they
team
have
game.
Jacoby Brissett throwing to him. It's not going to be a big happy situation there on that field. Maybe with Drake May, it gets a little better eventually down the road, and he becomes more of a passing offense, but you're not getting that right now. You're not going to get that. And you have an offense which I'm starting to wonder. And I think that this is going to eventually come to a head. Maybe not this week, but eventually this is going to come to a head if the offense keeps playing this way. Are they going to turn on Brissett or are they going to turn on Alex Van Pelt? Because it seems like they're not really, at the very least, super excited about the way this is starting so far. And I wonder if it's because they think Brissett's not getting them the ball or Van Pelt has just completely ignored him in the game plan.
Well, who would I know who I would turn on right now, just watching it.
I'd say Van Pelt.
Me too.
Yeah.
Because Brissett is running for his life. He's getting the crap kicked. He's been
excellent, according to our guest today, Tommy Kidd.
I don't think it's a stretch to say excellent. Good, excellent, done the best he can, whatever words you want to use.
Done the best he can and excellent are two different things. Like, excellent would be an excellent game. Like, he hasn't given you an excellent game.
He's been excellent for Jacoby Brissett.
He's been behind a crappy
offensive line. Like, he's been excellent for Jacoby Brissett playing behind a putrid line.
Sure.
That's about as best you can get. So he's been excellent in that role.
He's been behind bad offensive lines before, maybe. I don't know. It's like, I just sort of think that if he does have a good game, then I heard Jones say this, and I agree. If he has a good game, what are you going to call that? If he's excellent now, what do you call him when he has an actual good game?
Well, the excellent could come because the offensive line is better, right? Maybe his good game would be tied into the offensive line, not just he played better. And what's an excellent game for him? That would be the other question I would have.
210 yards.
No, I think that's fair.
A touchdown and no interceptions would be an excellent game. I'd consider that.
I think
for him.
That's fair.
I'm just sort of contradicting myself here, but that's what I would look at and say, that was a very good game. Good for him. Like, nice job there, Jacoby.
And I think he's probably capable of that. I think it's fair. You know, there's a lot of circling or swirling criticisms of Van Pelt early on, and we knew this was coming. Anytime you have an uncertainty in guys, like, the piranhas are there, right? The sharks are circling. Right. They're ready to pounce. And he's never done this before. The offense is one-dimensional. The passing game has its issues. You know, I've heard Bedard and others say, well, you need to beat man coverage. Man coverage, you beat it with talent. Zone coverage, you beat it with scheme. And you got to try to scheme some stuff up and different things. Alex Van Pelt is limited by the offensive line in the same way that Jacoby Brissett is. They're in different roles, but there's limitations.
Yeah.
Like, if he was, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a 7-step drop, and we're throwing the ball down the field. How do you think that play would end?
I think it would end with a sack, probably. Yeah. And three or four guys all getting credit for the sack.
Right.
It wouldn't just be like one guy.
Fumble, and maybe they're scooping and scoring and
like
all hell's breaking.
Will Levis last week. And, I mean, listen, this is a defense that turned him over two times on consecutive drives. That game still ended up being a close game, all right? So it's not like the Jets forced two turnovers and still needed a touchdown at the end of that game to beat a Tennessee Titans team that I think is in real trouble here, despite the fact that they have better weapons on offense than you do. But I think that's sort of what kept them in that game. If you go down like that, if they turn you over, are you getting back in that game?
No.
Do you have a Calvin Ridley to go out there and make a couple plays and get in the end zone? No way do you have that. And you could have had that, but you don't.
I didn't want that.
I know you
I mean,
didn't.
I kind of did, but I didn't.
He was awesome last week. Ridley was a machine last week.
We'll see how many times he's a machine.
Well, last week he was, and we only played two games. So.
A sex machine, like the guy on Twitter, text line likes to say?
Which guy on the text line?
There's a guy
line?
On the text line that alternates between calling you and I sex machines.
I did not know
kinda
that.
Kind of like Aaron Hernandez. I watched it last night. I watched both shows.
Yeah, pretty good, right?
Uncomfortable. I wasn't prepared for both male and female nudity in a 90 minutes of television.
Yeah.
You could have told me about that before I watched it with, like, my son, his friends, my daughter, my wife, everybody.
It was on late at night. I would have told you not to watch with
the kids. It's not exactly family. I mean, I know they're teenagers, but, I mean, you don't see what you saw in the locker room too often.
Yeah, right.
Boogie nights and a couple other things, but that's about the only time you see something like that.
Yeah, that was. I don't know what goes on in these college locker rooms, but it seems like a lot of penis.
It is a good show, though. It is a good show. I will be watching the rest of that show. Although you nailed the hell out of they definitely steer into the homosexual lifestyle and everything that of him very early. Like
that is a very
the high
early
school quarterback
prominent
like,
theme.
Boom,
absolutely, yeah,
right there.
And that's all. I mean, it's not all. It's not like they made it all up, but you know, it's
oh,
a
yeah,
big, it's a big part of the story so far. And we're only two episodes in. That's basically I guess we'll see. But like, I'd hate to think that they make that an excuse for what he did. You know, like it's just that sort of seems like.
Well, I don't. My guess is they're not going to tell you anything.
Yeah,
they're going to pose all these layers of. His parents were a problem. His sexuality was a problem. His CTE was a
CTE
problem.
Like and his friends and all that stuff.
Put yeah. it all together, and you had a perfect storm that you know created a man who did some really terrible things. And the environment at Florida. I kind of like the Urban Meyer character. I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah,
but,
he's doing
but he's
a good
putting
job.
On like the eyeliner and stuff.
The eyeliner was funny.
I enjoyed that character.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Anyway, if you don't know what we're talking about, there's a show on FX. Which is owned by Disney, by the way. It's not owned by Fox anymore.
Yes,
it was
I saw that.
Acquisition.
I was like 8 years late on
the
that.
Whole thing happened. I didn't even know about it. And, yeah, so it's Disney. So Murdoch may not have any say at all what Robert Kraft gets portrayed or not
it's
portrayed
not very
or whatever.
Disney of a show.
It really isn't.
It's about, a lot said.
It's about the least Disney
done.
Show they've ever made, I'd say. But, yeah, that's what's going on there. It's on, I think, every Tuesday. Tuesday night.
That would make sense.
Right,
and then
yeah.
you can get it on Hulu later. And yep. I don't have the good Hulu. I had to watch a lot of ads
lot of
for
ads.
Random drugs. That's all they advertise.
Really?
Is those random, like, get this vaccine or take this drug for this. Or that's
oh, yeah,
all the
John,
ads
the
are.
John Legend vaccine one.
He's, Jesus.
He was popping up a lot.
I don't want any of your drugs.
Okay.
I don't.
Fine. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The Patriots, you touched on this a little bit. Are they telegraphing their game plan too much? Like, you come out and you say, hey, we're running the ball, we're running the ball, we're running the ball. Gerard Mayo, and we'll play this for you in a second here, Gerard Mayo came out in that same one-on-one with Scott Zolak and was like, yeah, we want to get Pop Douglas more involved. Which, you know, like, what? You don't have to tell everybody this, Coach. You know, you can. I understand you want to keep guys healthy. You can tell them in the locker room. You have to go out and say that on TV, post it up on Patriots.com. Like, I don't know. It just seems like we want to push the ball down the field. We want to maybe get the passing game going more. Okay, that's pretty vague. That's pretty nebulous. But, yeah, we really want to get Pop Douglas going. It's like, well, that's Sauce Gardner now has one guy to cover, and that's it.
But if you tell people everything, then aren't you really telling them nothing? Because he's also been very adamant, we're going to run the ball. You got to stop us. We're going to start with the run. We're always going to be a run-first team. So if he says, we're always a run-first team, and then he tells you we want to get Pop Douglas more involved,
right.
Like, did he really tell you anything? I mean, Pop Douglas is on the team. He's a mm-hmm. wide receiver. People can look at the stats.
Right.
I mean, any opponent, when you scout a team, you're going to say, they threw the ball three times to their wide receivers for 19 yards? I bet you they would like to get those guys more involved because they're not without talent. It's not like it's just a bunch of practice squatters that just showed up.
Right.
They have receivers that have been here all offseason in developing a knowledge of the offense and trying to build roles. So that didn't bother me as much. And I also would say the run thing doesn't bother me. I know some people have bristled at that. Why are you telling everybody you're going to run first? Well, don't we always want teams to develop identities?
Yeah.
And then when they tell you what the identity is they're trying to develop, you don't like that either. It really makes no difference what he says. I guess we can boil it all down to that. Makes no difference what he says. It's what they do.
Yeah, it's how they execute it,
yeah.
obviously. But the way that the other team game plans against them, I do think can have a consequence based on what he says.
Okay, but if the other team is thinking about Pop Douglas and we're just going to run the ball, like whatever, it still comes down to the quarterback executing, looking
I mean,
at matchups.
You still load up the box and put Gardner on Douglas. And you
sure.
basically
and then I'm going deep with Tyquan Thornton and see if we can catch you like DK caught us.
Good luck with that.
I mean, sooner or later, the guy's a deep threat. We can't throw him the ball deep, see what happens.
How many years has he been here?
Two.
And how many times has that worked?
I don't really think it has.
I don't think it has once. I remember that two-touchdown game he had against the Bengals. One was on, like, a jet sweep, and the other was, I think, just, like, kind of a short pass.
Yeah, I would like to see
have they ever hit him for a deep ball? Like, has that ever happened? I think Mac almost did once, and he dropped it.
I think he did have a bad drop on a Mac deep ball down the left side.
Yeah.
There was that whole stretch where Mac was throwing left, and everybody kept dropping it.
Right. Him, yep. Parker,
yep.
Schuster.
Yes, there
Mac
was
Mac deserved
that.
Better, man. He did.
Are we retroactively going to feel bad for Mac Jones?
I already do feel bad for him. I felt bad for Mac Jones in the moment when all those happened because you could see his career was completely going down the toilet, and with a couple of those catches, maybe it wouldn't have.
Thornton's longest career catch is 39 yards.
39 yards.
Yeah.
Was it in that Bengals game?
I don't know.
Well, come on, Brian.
Just, I don't know. Stop asking questions.
617-779-7937. What's more likely tonight? Patriots win or the Patriots gets blown out? That is the question we're asking right here. Another question we want to ask you, Patriots fans out there, is who has the most to prove? Who has the most to prove in this coaching staff? Who has the most to prove on this roster? Who has the most to prove for the Jets, even, maybe? I mean, this is a big question. What?
The text line says, Tony Yazbeck is Urban Meyer in the Hernandez show. The texter's cousin and our wife's cousin and Broadway star. How about that?
Oh, yeah. The kid playing Hernandez is a Broadway star.
They got all these stars off Broadway? Because Fitzy was trying to get the guy who plays Belichick down the road to come on the Six Rings pod because he knows him from Broadway.
Well, there you go. I guess it's all Broadway people, I guess. Okay. Yeah. They said, you know what? We want the most macho group of actors we can possibly find to really encapsulate the modern NFL and also college football locker room and that lifestyle and what it is.
And they got and the Tebow Broadway guy? Stars. Tebow doesn't work.
That's Schwarzenegger's kid.
Oh, it's terrible.
Well, I mean,
I know you were all ticked off that Hernandez doesn't look like Hernandez. That guy's nothing like Tim Tebow.
Yeah, he doesn't really look like Tim Tebow.
At all.
He hasn't really had to say anything, so, you know.
Well, yeah, I think he had one.
I think he had like one or two lines, but yeah, he hasn't really said much at all. The guy who looks like Cam Newton doesn't look like Cam Newton.
Brandon Spikes kind of looked like Brandon Spikes, but
with
it was
the
just
helmet on
and dreads and the number 51, so you're like, hey, that's Spikes, and then he blows him up.
100%, there's Brandon Spikes. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Brian Frazoco is going to tell you what's trending. When we come back, we'll talk about who has the most to prove, and there's a lot of different ways you could go with this. Here's Brian with what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Time Out Market. The Boston Red Sox earned a win last night by a score of 2-1 down in Tampa Bay over the Rays. Trevor Story went deep for the Sox. Pitcher Justin Slayton earned the win. Red Sox are now 4 games back. The final AL wildcard spot. The rubber match game is tonight, and we will have the call of the game for you right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch tonight is at 6:50 with Brian Baio on the bump for the Sox. Zach Lattle on the hill for the Rays. Our coverage begins at 5:50 with the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with our very own Cooper Boardman. Week 3 of the NFL season kicks off tonight with the New England Patriots squaring off against division rival New York Jets. Juwan Bentley, Sidy Sow, Vidarian Lowe, O'Shane Zimenez, they're all out for the Patriots. David Andrews, Michael Nwenu, Jabril Peppers, and Dietrich Wise are listed as questionable. Linebacker Jermaine Johnson is already listed as out for the Jets. New York currently sits as 6-point favorites. Kickoff for the game is tonight at 8:15, and the New England Revolution played to a draw last night with CF Montreal. After blowing a 2-goal lead, the Revs head to North Carolina to face Charlotte FC on Saturday night. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Brian Frazoco, your next trending in about an hour.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
One of the only people I've seen anywhere talking about the Patriots nationally at all. It's the one game that's being played tonight, and I feel like there's really not much discussion about it. A lot of talk about, you know, 2 weeks into the NFL, all the injuries, all the surprises, all this, all that, which we'll get to. We'll get to that later in the show. But I feel like this game tonight, nationally, not much juice. And the stuff you are hearing is basically that for Mina Kimes there. Pretty good defense Patriots have. Keon White looks pretty good. They stopped the run pretty well. And you know what? That may be enough to win because in the NFL right now, no one's really passing all that great. That's basically the discussion. That's the dialogue about this game.
I want to get a hype man for me and us as a show like Mina Kimes is for this Patriots defense. Mm. Did she watch the game?
I would imagine she probably did, but I don't know.
I'm just wondering because the other team's running back was out.
She's a Seahawks fan, I think, so I'm sure she watched the game.
So the other team's running back was out. Geno Smith threw for 330, including two receivers with 10-plus catches for 100-plus yards.
Kind of carved you up,
Couldn't sniff Jackson Smith and Jigba. And then, in overtime, they took over with the Seahawks on their 16 with a chance to show how good they are. And, oh, my God, the personnel at all three levels. And correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I fell asleep. The Seahawks drove right down the field and won the game.
Yeah, but they got that cheap call, and it was all the refs' fault, and that's really what it was all about.
Was that how all 327 yards came? Was that all cheap calls?
No, just the ones at the end.
Oh, okay.
Just the ones that had ended the game.
I mean, I think the Patriots' defense is good, but why do we have to go over the top and make it something it isn't? You just lost a game because they couldn't do their job.
They got to try to sell this game somehow.
It's not their game. Mock it. Say, this is why you shouldn't watch streaming games. Traditional.
Only watch the Monday night games.
Monday night is where it's at. We have multiple broadcasts for your viewing pleasure. Screw streaming games. Streaming is a thing of the wasted future.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be saying.
Future Celtics owner Jeff Bezos and your dumb company.
No.
What?
We're part of the open.
I know. That's true.
And we want to stay part of
it. I was saying that's what Mina Kimes is saying. That's not what we're saying.
We love Amazon Prime.
I was putting on a voice there. That was my best Mina Kimes impression.
Amazon.
Which, by the way, is dangerous to do around here.
Yeah, I wouldn't if I were you.
Not even going to bother.
Wouldn't do that. Let's just focus on Amazon Prime, our friends over there, their great pregame show, because I don't know if we're on during the pregame show or the real open to the game, whatever.
I don't know what that is either, and I don't know if I can even record it. Like, do they keep a record of this? Like,
well,
I'd like to be able to go back and see it.
It's right there.
What do you mean?
Like, if you open your Prime, it says watch live or start fresh.
From the beginning of the pregame show?
Always. Yeah, always. It lets you.
Okay, well, if that's the case, that's good.
Why, you really want to see Ryan Fitzpatrick and who are the guys? Andrew Whitworth.
Richard Sherman's
still on there?
Sherman's
right?
And Tony Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez,
greatest tight end of all time. If only it was a tight end. I don't think that's actually a bad group. I think Fitzpatrick's pretty good. I think Sherman, despite all the stuff that went down with him in the last couple of years is not bad on that show.
Is there anybody more Teflon than former Seahawks? I feel like Sherman and Marshawn Lynch do all kinds of crazy stuff, and everybody loves them.
Right, yeah.
They just
Lynch
get away with it.
Yeah, Lynch was. Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, they both kind of get a pass. It's weird. I don't know about that. Anyways, we were asking the question. Speaking of guys who need passes, there's an update to this story. We didn't get to this yesterday. We'll do the question about who has more to prove later. I want to get to this Patrick Pass story right now. Patrick Pass surrendered to authorities on charges of assault on a person over 60 years old, causing bodily injury and disorderly conduct, according to the North Providence Chief of Police. Pass was booked, and this just happened, yesterday, I think. Pass was booked on the charges, arraigned and released on $10,000 bail after a warrant stemming from an investigation into the alleged incident was issued for his arrest. This all was said in a news conference yesterday. Officers responded to a report of an assault at the workout facility in North Providence on August 28th, found that an elderly victim, 82 years old.
Jesus, 82?
Suffering from injuries to his lower back. The chief of police alleged that Pass shoved the man, causing him to fall to the ground after an apparent argument over a piece of exercise equipment. What piece of exercise equipment?
What would Patrick Pass and an 82-year-old man?
That's exactly what I'd like to know.
What do they share?
Any machine has like 10-pound plates or 175-pound plates.
Right.
Like you could both use it.
But the 82-year-old guy, I mean,
I think you guys are missing the point.
No, I'm not missing the point.
He shoved down an 82-year-old man. This is like Pedro Martinez or Manny Ramirez.
First of all, allegedly. And second of all, I am not missing that. That's obviously the headline here. It's just a little weird that he was arguing with a very old man about a piece of equipment. That's just, I don't know. I find that weird.
And the old man is the one who was cleaning it, seemingly being courteous. Is that?
Well, here's what the chief said. He said, Mr. Pass was in the vicinity when the victim came over to use that piece of equipment. He started to wipe it down. A verbal confrontation began, which escalated to Mr. Pass pushing the victim to the ground. When asked by WJAR-TV, Pass said, look at me. Do you think I'm going to do that? Really? Please, come on. First of all, great defense.
Plus, you're a big jack dude. Do I think you could push down an old man? Yeah.
I think you probably could, yes. Please, come on. I have better things to do than to try and assault someone. I don't know. I don't love that. I don't love that alibi.
And I also feel like
come on. come on. Me? No,
there's probably video evidence.
There's definitely video evidence of
in
happening
a gym?
In a gym. Yeah.
And
100% we'll know
so
if he did it or not.
Based on that description, Patrick Pass was either still on the machine or just getting off, and the other guy came over and started to clean it, which old
people
do. The
other guy has walkers coming over. Like,
and old people like to do
me,
that.
Sonny.
And probably said, oh, you don't clean the machine when you're done? And then, you know.
How about a wipe there, Sonny?
It's not bad.
I mean, come on. Patrick Pass. Get it together, man. I mean, we'll see
actually
happens.
Innocent
happened
until
here.
Proven
innocent
guilty.
Innocent until proven guilty, but I mean, geez.
So do we think the man faked it?
The 82-year-old man faked getting assaulted by Patrick Pat. I don't know. I mean, anything's possible, I guess.
You know, if you get sweaty and want to take your shirt off, that'd be just fine.
That's what I thought of when he did that voice. Absolutely. Good call, Jackson.
Yeah, anyways, we'll see. We'll see if there's another update to this. Obviously, he's going to get his day in court. Just
10 grand?
10 grand for bail.
So if I push an old man down in a gym, I got to come up with 10K or I'm going to the pokey?
I guess, yeah.
Huh, good
Why,
to know.
Why, are you planning to do that? Or?
No, I'm just saying stuff happens.
Hey, there's this old guy at my gym I don't really like.
There was an old man at the gym one day that was a dink.
Really?
Like, I was in the middle of something. He's like, oh, can I do that? I was like, well, you want to work? And he's like, no, I need it or something. And I was like,
you've been getting bullied at the gym by 80-year-old
man?
My biggest problem with old guys.
80-year-old men at the gym are a bit presumptuous.
Yeah.
They think it's their territory.
They do. And they also, my biggest problem with old guys at the gym is they just let it flop around in the locker room. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just the truth, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Old guys are the worst.
Way
about
too
that.
Comfortable.
It is just out there.
They put creams on places that I don't need to see.
Yeah. And they do it amid a whole big show. Like
they do.
They got
legs
their knee up on the thing.
They
it's
do.
Like, come on, man.
It's like
come
the
on,
older
Grandpa.
And grosser you get, the more comfortable you get just everybody seeing everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
To show.
Well, what other one
We're
are we talking
better than
about
that.
Here?
I meant general locker rooms. Usually.
There's old men getting naked and rubbing
no,
stuff on themselves?
No, but usually the linemen are the ones who are more comfortable, like the big fat guys just walking around with nothing, like throwing a towel over there. Usually the fit guys have like towels tightly wrapped around them, and you're like, that's weird. Why
yeah,
is the
now
fat
here
guy
comes
so
Albert Hainsworth, and he's
yeah.
just, you know.
Now, to be fair, the towels are also too small generally for some of those fat
that's
guys
probably
to
why,
fit
yeah.
around.
They need those like sumo towels.
And women have no idea about any of this.
Well, you know, probably,
it's weird.
Probably for the better.
Because women generally cover up. They have their own shower, their own stalls. Like, the locker rooms are just different. It's not like this big room with 27 shower heads and all the dudes just hanging out.
I don't know what the women's locker room looks like, Andy.
I've always been told.
Andy Cruz.
No, I've always.
Andy's like, I'll tell you, let me tell you one thing I don't
I was
like
a janitor
about women's
once.
It's really hard to drill little holes through the wall and peep at them. It used to be much easier when I was younger, and now it's very difficult.
Jack wagons.
Just don't like it anymore. 617 says, this segment really went
off the rails.
So who you got tonight, Pats or Jets?
Yeah, really. I wasn't even planning on any of this, and here we are.
It's
here
Patrick
we are now.
Pass. I believe he played for both of these teams. Didn't he play for the Jets later in his career?
Oh, did he?
I'm going to look it up and see if I can tie this all together with
him
a nice
him
bow.
And Wiggy, right? They were about around the same era. They both Wiggy played for the Jets.
Oh, Wiggy definitely did.
Wiggy was drafted by the Jets.
He was drafted
yeah,
by
Wiggy
right,
was
yeah.
Jets before Patriots.
Patrick Pass was on the Giants.
Ah, Giants. I knew it. He's played. No,
he was
not,
on that 07 Giants team. The
not
Super
in
Bowl.
The stadium. Nothing.
Do you think he knows about his impersonator? Do you think he knows about that guy?
Oh, has to.
Yeah?
Has to.
Do you think the impersonator's taking this news really hard?
Like, he's changing his Twitter name.
Right?
To yeah. different former Patriot.
I no longer.
Getting a bunch of hate mail from old guys now.
Yeah, he's Kevin Falk now.
Can't be associated with that kind of action.
Yeah, yeah.
It is pretty bad.
I mean, it's not good. It's not good. We'll
but
see,
who
we'll
can,
see what
I
happens.
Mean, maybe the old man, can I say it?
Had it coming?
Yeah.
Billy Lanny said that about the Manny guy. You know, he said just get him the tickets. Like, what are you arguing for?
I feel like that's a little different.
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know.
But.
It's kind of right. It's your job to get tickets. You're the traveling secretary. Get the tickets. What are you arguing with him for?
If the guy had done the same thing and he's 32 years old, is it okay to shove him down?
I guess.
It is?
No.
I mean, I feel like it should
be
the same line.
It's very unprofessional.
Although, when you're old, you're technically a protected class.
That's true. And 82, I mean, that's definitely your way, you know?
And you could kill the man.
Yeah.
If he just falls weirdly and he's dead, now all of a sudden you got like manslaughter or attempted murder.
Yeah.
Whereas, I think the WEI afternoon show official stance should be violence is always bad.
Yeah,
right?
Violence is bad. You shouldn't push old people. I think that's probably a good thing that we should have, yeah.
Huh?
We shouldn't encourage people to hurt the elderly. I don't think
that's
good.
Do you throw hands a lot there, Andy? I don't see you as a fighter.
I haven't been in a fight in forever.
Yeah, me neither.
But, I mean, I sometimes think the threat of violence is fine.
The threat is fine.
Yeah.
Just don't actually do
people
it.
People need to be a little fearful.
Yeah. It's like, hey, Grandpa, get off my machine. You don't actually go and slap him, you know?
No.
Yeah.
But when I get to be 80, maybe I will.
That could be. But then you got to worry. You hit him first. Even if you're an old guy, you hit him first.
Yeah. If you live that long, you really kind of deserve to be any way you want to be at any point, really.
That's how I kind of look at it. I tell my wife that all the time. When I get to the don't give a you-know-what phase and the waitress says, how's your meal? It actually sucks. I hate it. Because don't you always, like you say, it's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
You never say
yeah, absolutely.
But when I'm going to or when somebody cuts you off, I'm just going to T-bone them and be like, what are you going to do, take my license away? I'm going to be dead soon. Yep. I don't need a license.
We have a call Glory on the days. Line about this very topic. Kim is in Newton. Go ahead, Kim.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Hello, Kim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was calling because, as I'm laughing about the old men with their feet on the counter putting creams in places.
Yeah.
I thought I would share with you guys a little about the women's locker room.
Oh, by all means. Thank you. Yes.
It actually is the exact same way.
Oh.
The older and larger they get, the more gross things that are happening in there. Oh. And the more they let it all hang out. And I have a little boy who's 6, and I can't send him into the men's locker room alone yet. And so
you got to bring him in.
That's
the ladies,
always a fun adventure when I bring him in, and he's staring at all the 8-year-old women letting everything hang everywhere.
Wow, so, they're just like us. Kim, thanks for the call. It was very educational. I appreciate that. They're just like us.
Well, that's good to know.
By the way, we're only age shaming, not body shaming, so it's okay if they're large or whatever. We're making fun of them for being old. That's what we're going for. Right
and
now.
Showing parts that no one really wants
that
to
too,
see.
Yes,
young
right.
or old, but certainly not old.
You're big. You're going to the gym. You're trying to work on yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I have full respect for that.
But if you're old, we're going to make fun of you.
Yeah. I don't need to. I don't need to see any of that. Yeah. I don't even really want to think about it.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We've been talking a lot about how offense is down in the NFL.
Have we?
Yeah. Like
we've been talking about a lot of other
stuff. We've been
talking
about that all day long, basically.
I mean, we've been offensive, but I don't know about offensive.
And old guys and their old junk hanging out. But really, what we want to talk about right now is how defense, according to Mel Kiper, is ruining the NFL. That's next. Each time I hear that clip, he sounds older and older and older. Like, he really sounds like an old man. He sounds like an old man in the gym with his wiener out, just yelling
a little
about
bit.
Whatever. Like, that's basically
lubing
what he
up
like.
Certain things.
And mind you, I had to cut 45 seconds out of there of him just talking about these old guys that I've never, ever heard of.
He's just fussing like an old guy, just sitting there fussing about how football used to be. Just a fussy old man. Like, that's Mel Kiper, who's, by the way, I mean, he's an old guy.
A legend.
He's a legend in the field and a legend in football broadcasting, obviously, but man. You know, okay, so we shouldn't have safeties anymore. Basically, is what he doesn't want to have safeties on the field.
Wants them tighter.
They're
so
too
that
far back.
Can
they can only go
deep.
So far back so that, you know.
What are we doing?
Guys can just go run wild behind them, and that's the whole thing. The whole point of them being there is they're safe. It's the last line of defense. That's the whole Reds, the whole point of their name.
Plus,
it's right there in the name.
So I love Mel Kiper. Good dude. I used to work, do some stuff for him. Big fan.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like a jackwagon. And isn't the idea now the offense should adjust? Like,
right.
Figure out how to attack? Because it seems pretty simple to me. If they're going to have two of their defenders way behind the line of scrimmage, isn't that why we're going to run the ball more?
Absolutely.
Or run intermediate pass routes underneath? Right? Like, isn't the middle of the field going to be open and the run game going to be open?
You would think.
And isn't that how it's supposed to work? Ebb and flow naturally kind of goes back and forth.
Also, two high safeties. That's not some new innovation in defense. Like, it's the cover two.
Tampa
cover
two.
Cover two's been around forever. That's not some new thing.
Tampa two.
Guys have been implementing the Tampa two since before I was born. Like, what are you talking about?
You know what I think the problem is? I think offenses between coordinators and players are getting dumber. I'll throw quarterbacks in there. It's been oversimplified. We're going to, you know, we started doing the college thing where we're going to simplify it. Bill wanted to simplify it.
Right.
Alex Van Pelt, everything's simplified. We got to be ready to bring in young players. And in college, they don't even have to do anything. They line up and they look over and somebody tells them what to do, right? They put cards in the air, hands in the air. They do different things. It's like you never actually have to read the defense. The coach is reading it for you. I think that's what's happened.
the dumbification of the damn offenses and quarterbacks and wide receivers. But so now we're going to make a rule. Defenses have been getting porked for years, basically on almost every rule.
Yeah.
And now we're going to make another rule that scoring is down and passing is down. So you can't do that anymore. You need to get closer because I want this guy to run by you, and he can't run by you if you're way back there.
Yeah.
What the hell are we? And I know this happens. He's right. They tweaked the thing for the tush push. Or in the NBA, right, you have like illegal defense and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not unforeseen in other sports or even in – but this is dramatic. It'll take care of itself.
Right.
When people start running the ball down your throat and say, you want to keep those two back there, I'm going to run until you stop me. Is he saying that running is not entertaining? That's
yes.
The other part.
That's 100%
so what he's with mm-hmm. Shaughnessy and Wiggy.
Yep.
He thinks this is not entertaining right now.
And I bet you the NFL thinks that too.
That's stupid. So you don't like football. You like pass. Another example of why I believe 7-on-7 flag football is the future of the NFL, and they're getting rid of real football. Because even football, Mel Kiper in 1980 or whatever started covering the draft like a dorky football loser
right.
and turned it into the greatest industry of spring sports and football.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's not liking football because they can't pass enough for his liking.
That's what he's saying.
That stuns me.
Maybe. But I'm telling you, he's not alone.
Love you, Mel, by the way.
I guarantee you that the NFL has all sorts of studies done about what, you know, is more entertaining to the audience and what keeps people watching longer and all that other stuff. And I guarantee you that a high-flying offense outrates the plodding running offense a million times out of a million. I mean, with maybe an exception or two to prove the rule. And that's just, we're talking now.
Why does it have to be a plodding running offense either?
Because that's what most running offenses are.
Did you watch Saquon Barkley the other night, that early drive when he's picking up like 8, 10, 12 yards per run?
Sure.
Is that plodding?
Not necessarily.
Like fun plays.
But a run offense that's generally a successful one is one that's sort of slow and keeps the ball out of the other offense's hand, right?
I don't know about
that. You pick up a lot of first downs, you go down the field, like it's keep away from the other offense. That's what you deploy the run game for.
There's plenty of high school and college run offenses that are big play run offenses that can find chunk plays on the ground.
Okay, fine. So not plotting run offenses, but run offenses in general versus a passing off, high-flying passing offense with flashy receivers and big plays down the field, it's not even close. I guarantee you that they have all sorts of studies done about that, and they know that they, and that's why they make rule changes sometimes, just because they want to keep the audience more engaged.
So where do we go with the extremes?
I don't know. I don't think it's ever going to get to flag football, though, because I think the hits also rate really high, too.
Yeah.
I think the hits and the violence are right up there, too.
They are, except that's where you get into lawsuits and concussions and injuries, and you take those out and players, and you can do guaranteed contracts. I'm telling you. Flag football, they put it in the Olympics. They put it in the Pro Bowl. They're telling you.
They
giving
put break dancing in the Olympics.
They're
Who
giving
cares?
You the little – not with Tyreek Hill going from one sport to the other. He's going to go try it. He's going to be good at it. People are going to watch it. And people like you are, look at this test study. We had this focus group that they like Tyreek Hill. We
can
laugh
at me if you want. You don't think the NFL's doing it?
No, I think they are doing that.
They're 100% doing that.
And they're going to be playing flag football within – when am I going to die? How old am I?
Yeah.
I got like 40 years left.
We talking about what I think or what I'm hoping?
Oh, already? You're already hoping for me to die?
Hey, no.
It's only
weeks. Maybe I hope it'll be a long time from now. I didn't specify what I was hoping for.
Not in my lifetime. Know. In your son's lifetime.
My son's lifetime.
They will be playing
the NFL is
flag football permanently, and then the offshoot leagues will be like lesser contact football. They'll be fake foot. They'll be like, they won't
cryogenic
be the main
cryogenic Vince
football.
McMahon's going to revive the
yes.
XFL again.
They'll be like XFL like that'll actually be. But the NFL, the most popular football league will be a flag football league. And because if you got Mel Kiper, next you're going to tell me Bill Belichick's on board with stuff like this.
I don't think Bill Belichick's going to be on board with eliminating the two high safeties. Something tells me.
With all his media appearances, this is something where I'd actually like to hear him talk about it. This is something that
He probably loves this.
Loves what?
That there's less offense and more lower scores and less passing and stuff. I bet Belichick loves that.
But I think what he would love is the challenge. Oh, you're going to do that? Well, I'm going to do this. Let's see you stop me if you want to stay 25 yards deep down the field with two safeties. You can't. I know numbers. I know gaps. I know schemes. Well, I'm going to beat your ass.
I mean, Belichick was big into dink and dunking anyway before all
but
that
But doesn't
was,
just that. See,
popular.
You put a negative. Plotting offense, dink and dunk.
Well,
what's
yeah.
wrong with precision?
There's nothing
precision.
Wrong with it if we're talking about trying to win games in the NFL. If we're talking about
did
entertaining
the audience.
Did you
like the triple option?
It was fine.
Like the old Nebraska teams? You tell me those weren't entertaining?
Sure. I don't really remember them, but whatever. I mean, that's not, you know,
they were
talking
awesome.
About the modern day NFL and like the younger viewer and keeping people interested
so
in the game.
So we just want to pass. Okay, so send all the linemen home. Send the running backs home and let's just play 7-on-7 or flag football.
Now who sounds like
it's what
an
everybody
old
does.
Jeez.
We don't like real football. I'm sorry. I thought we all liked football.
I do like football.
You don't. Mel doesn't.
I like hits. I like big hits.
I want
the safeties to deliver big hits all the time. I am against the abolishment of the two high safeties. I want to keep the safeties out there so they can hit people.
That's a solid argument.
Yeah.
Not only do I want them deep, they can take people's heads off again.
Yes, that's exactly right. They're never defenseless if you're around a safety. That's why
Perfect.
They're called safeties.
See, I don't know what you're arguing for.
I like football. I just think that I'm telling you the way it's going.
Mel Kiper. You think he was paid to say this? This doesn't fit with
that
who he is.
That does not sound like a paid guy at all. That sounds like an angry guy sort of just, you know, telling you what's on his mind.
But
that's what it sounded like to me.
Don't you feel like it's counter to a guy who's been in the league so long and developed his career at a time when, like, Riggins and those guys were kind of football.
Yeah, but that was also 40 years ago, you know? It's a new day in the NFL, and he's been right there watching it, you know?
I don't care for it.
He sees it.
He probably sees it because he knows quarterbacks and wide receivers are more interesting in draft prep, and that's his area of expertise.
Well, look at the last two drafts.
Yeah, I know.
It's all quarterbacks and wide receivers in the first round.
So he's like, oh, my God, if people start running the ball, it's going to be fullbacks. Tommy Vardell will go in the top 10 again. I can't have fullbacks in my top 10 projections.
Probably not. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. I haven't done that. I've been here 2 years. I've never done that. That's the first time I've done that in 2 years.
I was a Jones staple when
Holy
he first got
Holy moly, I can't believe I just did
that. What the hell are you doing?
That's unbelievable.
It's all right. Greg Hill still says the WAAF number every once in a while.
I can't believe I did. I've never done that. Even when I first started. I was only a month after leaving there and coming here, and I never, ever did that.
I don't like where your head's at. What do we do?
That's really weird.
No wonder
get with the team, bro.
I'm sorry, guys. Sorry.
I'm all in. I'm engaged. I'm loyal to this time slot. I'm
right.
loyal to this room
you
and this
give the
building.
Number out then. 617-779- 7937 is the phone number. Quick break. We'll be right back.
All right, parents. It's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.